Now, last episode, we were at the Mount of Olives. Disciples were trying to understand what Jesus is talking about. He stood in the temple and he said that there's one in the temple greater than the temple. That kind of shook them a little bit. But then he made a statement that as he saw that they were overwhelmed with the temple, Jesus made a statement that what you see now, no stone will be left unturned. Every stone's going to be removed. And that really, really, really bothered them. And so they followed him to the Mount of Olives, and there they begin to talk about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are records of the life of Jesus. And so I want you to turn, we were in Mark last time, but in my study, I want you to go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 deals a little bit deeper with this subject. Last week, we ended up by talking about things that are going to happen. What Jesus said would happen. And so I wanted to bring you to Matthew 24. I've enjoyed this series probably about as much as anyone I've ever done because God has taught me so much about, you know, sometimes we read the Bible and in our mind we already ahead of the preacher or whatever because we think we understand everything it's talking about, but there's so much more to it. Matthew 24 is like that because I was always thinking that Matthew 24 was that scripture that just talked about, foretold the things that were going to happen. And it is. But also, he's alluding to the moment right now as he's standing. You got to understand that Jesus came to bring something brand new. He didn't come to bring religion. He didn't come to be an extension of religion or extension of Moses. He came to determine and develop relationship that you can have a relationship with God. Isn't that awesome? You can have a relationship with the one who created this world. When you stand out there at night and you look at that beautiful moon and all the universe and how magnificent it is, and he spoke all of that to existence. Jesus came, who was God, incarnated in the flesh, to say, hey, I am touchable. I'm not in a building. I'm not in form. I'm not in ritual. I am in relationship. I am in you. I want to be a part of you. I want to be a part of you. And so Matthew 24, Matthew records here, and he says, and Jesus left the temple, chapter 24, verse 1. I'm just going to read a few verses because I want to touch on some history. Because Jesus told them that no stone be left unturned. And we're going to fast forward 40 years. And I'm going to give you some biblical history to prove what Jesus said would happen, happened. So it says here in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its building. You see that? To call his attention to the buildings, do you see all these things? And they're alluding to how magnificent the building is. He asked, truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. It doesn't say that it would be because of storm or whatever, it'd be moved down or fall down. The word says it will be thrown down. And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they say, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Now, I've never seen this before. 44 years. I've never seen it like this before. Isn't that a good God? He was about to allude or prophesy what was going to happen to the temple. He was going to prophesy what's going to happen to the temple. And then he's going to prophesy what's going to happen in the end of the age. And I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but you in your study, read this, because this is very interesting ages, interesting reading. And verse, it says here, Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they say, when will these things happen, and what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no man deceive you. See, because he understood that right now they're being deceived by this building. They're being deceived. And I want to say this to you right now, in this century we live in now, don't be deceived at what you hear all these people who speculate and tell you that God's not real, and there's not going to come a coming of the Lord, and there's not a heaven, and there's not any of all that. That's all man-made. I want to tell you this, what God said came to pass and always does. I'm not reading you a book. I'm reading you something that has been proven through history. This book is an anointed book because it's alive. It's not just a book. Men wrote these words as God wanted them to write them, because in time to come, God will revelate these words back to us and say, what I told you would happen will happen. Okay? He said, Jesus answered, watch out that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming, and we know that, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. And look at this part, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Now, I always forethought that right there. So let me stop right here. I'm struggling with reading this morning because I left my glasses on the pew there. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Pray for interpretation.
We'll get them bad boys.
Thank you. Thank you, bro.
We don't miss nothing.
You're a good man. I don't care what that woman says back there. You're a good man. Amen. But Jesus, you know, I love when I'm studying the Word. God just, He'll stop you. You know, just like when I thought I was through with this a couple weeks ago, He said, you're not through, go back. And so, what He's about to predict, and then I went to study Bible history. It's amazing. So, Jesus stood in the temple there. His heart's broken. You got to understand, He's not saying these things that one stone's going to be laid. He's not saying that arrogantly, or He's not saying that, well, I told you so. He's not saying it like that. His heart's broken. The same scenario when He sat on the mountain and He wept over Jerusalem because they didn't even know who He was. Same scenario. So 40 years later, there's been a revolt against the Roman government. The Jewish people had branched out into gangs. Jewish gangs had raised against Rome, nation against nation, warring against warring. And when I studied this biblical history, it was unlike none ever before, the tragedy of it all. When you read on down into Matthew here, it says, pregnant women, it says, beware. I wish that you weren't pregnant during this time because of the horrific nature of what's about to happen. You say that this temple will never come down. You say that Judaism will never stop. But I tell you, not one stone left upon another. And so 40 years from that statement till now, it happened just like Jesus said. Jewish gangs had revolted against Rome, and the 10th Legion Roman soldiers had come against this. It was nation against nation. It was revolt against revolt. And so what was happening? A war like none other in the streets had happened. Bloodshed, just like Jesus said. And I read, when you read Matthew 24, you'll understand. So what had happened, the Roman soldiers had rounded these people up, and there was festivals going on in the city of Jerusalem, and so they were going into the city of Jerusalem. So what was happening while they were going into the biblical history tells us that now Rome began to build walls around the outer structure. So there's an inner structure wall, and now they're building walls against this structure around the city. Aspasian, which was the emperor at that time, his son Titus, said, one of them said, let's run them away. Let's don't let them in the city. He said, no. Let them in the city. Let them in the city. And like sheaves going before the slaughter, they came into the city. Open up the gates of the city and let them enter in. And when they enter in, we're going to seal it. And biblical history says they cut off their food supply. And as they cut off their food supply, they fought Romans by day and each other by night. All in Matthew 24 here. All in history. They fought Rome by day and each other by night. And you know what they were fighting for? These Jewish gangs were fighting to say, who's going to be the king? They were so bewildered. In AD 70, August the 6th, the 10th Legion Roman Army went in the city and they destroyed everything in it. They killed everybody they could see. Can you imagine the bloodshed? They killed everybody they could see. And not only did they do that, but when they got done killing everybody in the city, they began to attack the walls of that city. And history records that they drug every boulder down from the wall and destroyed the city. Just like Jesus said. They tell me if you go in the Holy Lands now on the south side of where the temple was, you will still see some of these boulders laying in the valley there, just like Jesus said. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they talk about this, they don't record this very event. You want to know why? Because the temple hadn't been torn down yet. But just like Jesus said, 40 years later, the temple was destroyed, the walls were broke down, and they were destroyed just like Jesus said, just like he predicted it, just like he said. The days of temple sacrifice were now ended. And I want to show you something right here. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians. No, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is something right here. This brought revelation to me. The walls have destroyed. They're laying down in the valley. 20 years later, Paul would write to the Corinthian church these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. Do you not know, look at that, what it says, that your bodies are temples? Is that awesome or what? Do you not know now, 20 years later, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit that once dwelled in the temple, the Holy Spirit that once was there in the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit that once was there has now moved from a building to a person. And that Holy Spirit now, Paul says, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And the last part of this message is this. Everyone sitting beside you right now are sacred. The buildings is not what we worship. The buildings is not what's sacred. You are sacred. Jesus died so that you would know how it was to be free from sin. And not only free from sin, but to have the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in your midst. To guide you, to direct you. And I thought this was so awesome that your bodies now, not a building, is a temple. You're the temple. And inside of you dwells Almighty God. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? Amen? If God be for you, then who can be against you? Just like Jesus said. I want to tell you, I have enjoyed this series, but it just reaffirmed to me, we need to trust and believe like we've never done it before. Trust and obey. Remember that old song? For there is no other way. Jesus came to show us. And not only did he show us, but he put it in history. To tell us what I said would happen, would happen. Guys, why are you marveling at this building? This building is not God. You, inside of you, dwells God. And I'm so glad today as I close this message, believe it or not, I'm actually closing today. God's just going to lead us to something else, so thank God for that. But you know what? I have gained a respect through the history, through the learning of all this, that you are God's greatest creation. I want you to hear this. He loves you more than you can even fathom what love is. And inside of you dwells the power of the Holy Spirit today. That power of the Holy Spirit flows with the life. He is the Holy of Holies. The veil is ripped in two from top to bottom. And now you can enter into his presence anytime you want to. Is that awesome or what? On the break at work, on the way to work, when you just had that bad phone call, or whether, whatever, he dwells in you. You don't have to run to a synagogue. You don't have to run to a priest. You don't have to run to a person. You can call on the name of Jesus because he's there. In the name of Jesus. When you mention that name, it rings through hell. And Satan has to drop to his knees because he knows the power of that name. And Jesus said, just like he said, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. He will stand and the world will have to say he's Lord. Just like he said. I'd rather go ahead and call him Lord now, wouldn't you? I'd rather go in. I want to be on that first load out. Amen. I want to be on the first load out when the Bible teaches us in Matthew 24 talks about all that. And I thank God for his revelation because I've always read that a different way. But God gave me the right way to read it. I'm telling you. I know we deal with doubt. I know we deal with fear. I know we deal with circumstances, yeah, but look at the circumstances, yeah. Look at that beautiful building. But one day, get this right here, one day, that building One stone's not going to be left upon another. And one day, that circumstance that's buffeting you and coming against you is going to pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away. My words will never pass away. They will stand true. Amen. You be encouraged today, whatever you're dealing with, because what Jesus said, He will do. He will do it. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We praise you today for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace that we heard sung this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for being a God that heals us of our wounds. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for this revelation word that gives us this word, oh God, that tells us and teaches us this word. God, your presence is so real. Your presence is so real. Now, Lord, if there be someone here today that's heavy-hearted, if there be someone here today, Lord, that is struggling with some type of circumstance in their life, I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, that you would move on them right now and encourage them and strengthen them as all heads are bowed and no one looking around. If there's someone here today, I won't embarrass you. I won't go to you. I'm just simply asking you to acknowledge it. If you're here today and you say, I need prayer. I'm going through some things right now and I've been dealing with some things and I just need some encouragement. Would you just lift your hand and say, pray for me. Thank God for those hands. Thank God for those hands. Hands going up all over. Thank God for those hands. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. Thank you, Lord, for those hands. Lord, you've seen every hand that was raised. And I ask you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, encourage one another, Lord. Encourage them, O Lord, that whatever they're going through, this too shall pass. I'm going to ask you to take the hand of the woman beside of you right now, if you will. Hallelujah. Father, we come in agreement. You said, God, in your word, that if we two come in agreement, it shall be. And Lord, we come in agreement this morning that whatever mountain needs to be moved today would be moved. Whatever encouragement needs to be today, God, they be encouraged. Lord, I pray that you will speak to the heart. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, I'm telling you people, there's an anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place today. God is here walking up and down these pews and walking up and down these aisles this morning. And he's here for you today. Lord, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Thank you, Jesus. God, ever, Lord, we come in agreement with each other's hand, holding each other's hand, God. And Lord, help us, God, be encouraged today. Help us, Lord, rise above whatever we're facing. Lord, if there needs to be healing, God, heal. If there needs to be deliverance, God, deliver. God, if there needs to be encouragement, God, encourage. If there needs to be a freedom of the mind, God, Lord, free that mind, oh God. Just like you said, Jesus. Just like you said. Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say one thing to you before you leave. Sometimes when you're going through stuff and you see circumstances, you hear that voice from hell say, it's never going to change. You just will accept it. It's never going to change. You're going to do this or you're going to go through that or whatever. That's all in your mind, but listen, it's not going to change. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Let's say that you get thrown in the fiery furnace. Let's say you're in there. The God that we serve is big enough to go with you in that furnace. And he will wrap himself around you that though you're in the midst of it, you won't even smell like smoke. Somehow or another, you'll come through it, even in the midst of it. You got to get this. Even in the midst of it, you're going to come through it. How in the world, God, I'm in the midst of it. How can I come through it? He'll make a way where there's not a way. Do you hear me? And when you get on the other side, you won't know how you got to the other side, but you know you're on the other side. And the storm is over. You can't explain it, but you're standing there, full mind, full body, full everything. If God be for us, who, what, where can be against us? Take that with you today, in Jesus' name.